10:41 a.m. on February the 23rd, 2010. This is the second day of in the appeal of Z4 Corporation, OPA-PA-09-012. I am Anthony Camacho. I'm the hearing officer for the Office of Public Accountability. We're on the fifth floor of the DNA building in Aganiwam. Will the members of the OPA staff present for this hearing please identify themselves for the record?
Doris Forsberg, public auditor.
Ann Camacho, hearing assistant.
Franklin Cooper, auditor.
Vincent Duenas, auditor.
Thank you. Will the appellant's counsel please identify himself for the record and any institutional representatives that are with him today?
Aaron Jackson, and with me is D4 Corporation's institutional representative, Mr. Armando Argon.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Will counsel for the purchasing agency please identify herself for the record and any institutional representatives that are here with her this morning?
I'm counsel for the DOE, and my name is Laura Mooney. I do not have an institutional representative at the time for the beginning of this hearing. She is not my institutional representative at GSA, and they're pro se without counsel.
Okay, will the GSA pro se representative please identify herself for the record?
My name is Anita Koo.
Yeah, what position do you have at GSA?
I'm the acting chief procurement officer.
Thank you. Just before we went on record, there was a brief discussion concerning bond funded projects between parties and the OPA. I had instructed GSA's institutional representative to check on the status of whether or not Ms. Claudia Quadzi will be available today. She's returned back from Highland, and I requested that that occur this morning. And then finally, I believe Mr. Jackson, there was a preliminary issue concerning an exhibit. Yes, please proceed.
D4 requests to enter some documents into exhibit. We wish to enter these documents at this point. They're not in the exhibit list, and they are relevant to the matter and go to an issue that was raised for the first time yesterday. Specifically, there was a question about during the questioning of Pete Valencia of D4 Corporation, there was some question about the bonding of D4 Corporation and other projects that D4 Corporation had obtained bonding for. And the specific documents we wish to introduce are evidence of bonds D4, performance bonds D4 has received from certain projects. One is the Okudo High School in Guam, and that's a contract in the amount of $1.5 million. And that was a certified treasury, a federal bond. And there's some other performance bonds here for other projects. And I think these are relevant because they go to the issue at hand, whether, in fact, Z4 was approved and whether there is any reason to believe that they would not have been approved for this performance bond. And so we make a motion to introduce these exhibits at this time.
And what's your offer of proof? Is that a supplement to Mr. Valencia's testimony? Or
yes, yes, sir.
Okay. Ms. Mooney, on the addition of the additional exhibits?
I have not seen the additional exhibits, and so I'm just discussing it on what was presented. We believe that it's not relevant to the particular issues at hand. The face of the documents that are in the record already and the testimony that's there. If there's any question, further proof could be done from the Alpha insurers or whoever the surety is. We have not raised that as part of what we're talking about. it's a question of that it didn't come in and the face of what the document is. So this would seem to be not relevant from our standpoint. And that's what I'm just looking at the date and time. So.
Mr. Jackson, in response?
Well, the issue was raised for the first time yesterday about the question about not just whether the document, the bond wasn't approved and whether it actually submitted. The question was raised about whether they could have been, in fact, been approved. That seemed to be implicit in some of the questioning. So I think these go to the merits of that. And I think, overall, I think this would be helpful to try our fact in this matter. I mean, I think in these hearings, the idea is to get a full picture of the circumstances. And I think there's a low bar for relevancy, and I think those are absolutely relevant to the issue of performance bond.
Okay, and I'm going to overrule your objection, Ms. Rooney. I find that they're relevant if they would supplement the testimony of Mr. Valencia. Further, I note that one of the issues that you raised in your briefs and in your line of questioning of Mr. Valencia was whether or not he did, in fact, provide a performance bond. So on that, those grounds, I find them relevant. What are we going to admit these exhibits as?
What I'll do is during the break, during the lunch break, I will mark them, make copies, and I'll mark them. These will be appellant exhibits. 31 through, I believe, 35. I'll get the exact numbers when we return, but I'll make full copies and return it at the lunch break.
Very well. Okay. So I will approve your motion to admit appellant exhibits 31 through 35 to supplement the testimony of Mr. Valencia. Speaking of exhibits, I did request yesterday that the purchasing agency provide the authority by which GSA was conducting procurement matters on behalf of the Department of Education. Ms. Mooney, do you have that, these documents?
Okay.
For the record, I've been presented with on August 10th, 2009, memorandum, it appears, from Marissa Britannia Schaefer, the Superintendent of Education, requesting assistance concerning procurement, which was approved by Felix Camacho, the Governor of Guam. Is that correct, Ms. Mooney?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, did you get a copy of this document?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And is that all there is?
The two pages? Yeah.
Okay, the second page is a letter dated July 17, 2009 from Ms. Marissa Britannia Schaefer. Thanking GSA for conducting procurement training and other matters. So yesterday there was talk of an executive order. Is there such an executive order?
Oh, the executive order was on a different matter.
Not this one?
Not in regards to procurement
section. I'm sorry, what?
Is that pertaining to the
very well. Okay, and Ms. Mooney, for the record, could you please identify your institutional representative who has not joined us?
I have with me the principal of Ocean View Middle School, Linda Hernandez Abelia.
Okay. Well, are there any other preliminary matters this morning before we proceed?
Yes, I have a list of the appellee's exhibits typed up so that we got the package reassembled in the manner that you requested, and so now I'm going to give you a cover sheet that will make it a little bit easier.
Okay, have you provided Mr. Jackson a copy of that document?
We will.
have him look at them first, please?
Yeah, I see a copy of those exhibits. So this is just a copy of, just a list of your exhibits, okay, that you've already given us or you provided us yesterday, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Any objections to this list, Mr. Jackson?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
One other housekeeping matter is the source of funding for the gymnasium. If you could elaborate, Ms. Mooney, as to your understanding of where the funding is going to come from.
My understanding is the funding is local bond funding and that it exists. And I will call a witness this afternoon and our case in chief that will be able to answer all your questions on that. I'm going to call Fred and Shara, legal counsel of DOE.
Thank you.
And yesterday, when we recessed, we were still in the appellant's case in chief. Mr. Jackson, do you have any other witnesses?
Not to admit that we had brought Tryas.
How do you spell his last name?
T-R-A-Y-A.
Thank you.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Trier, please have a seat. I'm Anthony Camacho. I'm the hearing officer for these proceedings. When you give your testimony, please speak loudly and speak directly into your microphone. Mr. Jackson, your witness.
Hi, Mr. Trier. My name is Aaron Jackson. I'm the attorney for V4 Corporation. And we called you before you appeared today to ask you some questions about the invitation for bid 008-2009, which is the Ocean View Middle School repair project. Are you familiar with this project?
During the initial bid, I was not. Only I was familiar on the repairs of this project.
Okay, and first of all, where are you employed?
Okay.
Where are you employed?
Yes, sir.
No,
at DOE.
DOE, okay. And what's your title?
I am a program coordinator team with the facilities and maintenance.
And what do your duties include?
Well, my duties include preparation of scope of work for DOE announced projects, and also coordinating these projects for other government agencies. And in some cases, I'm also doing some monitoring of these projects, especially projects which are done by small contractors.
Okay. So you're involved in the rebid of the Ocean View Middle School repair project?
My involvement there was during the opening of the rebid, but not prior to the, like for example, the during the bid conference, or the preparation of the documents, I was never involved in this thing.
Were you present during the opening?
Yes, sir.
And did you have the opportunity to review the bid?
Well, Albert Garcia asked me to take a look, but I am not in a position to decide. But yes, he asked me to have some comments about the bid documents.
So then you did review the actual, just the documents, or?
Yeah, the documents submitted, the administrative requirements, such as bid documents, performance of bid bond or contractor's license, and then eventually for the technical specs, the brochure material, I have to refer that to the material because I am not in position to review those materials.
Is anyone at the DOE in a position to verify whether bids meet specifications?
Well, those things should be addressed to, those things are being done by procurement section.
Okay. So it would be up to the procurement to make the final decision whether they meet the specifications or not?
Yeah, but in this case, there is what we call the designer. So, and then our DOE as an engineer or something like that. So what we do is always, or procurement, we always refer to our designer.
So after you reviewed the documents, they were forwarded to the project architect. After the opening, the bids were forwarded to the project architect, Kennedy Chamber,
for the review of the technical for the brochure and submittals.
Okay.
The administrative requirements were reviewed by the performance section.
Did you make any recommendation regarding the bids?
I made some comments, and my comments were signed by the reviewers, because I cannot sign it, basically I cannot sign. I have to prepare a memo to be signed by the reviewers.
Why cannot you sign recommendations?
I cannot sign any recommendation, as I said, because this thing is under bid, and bid should be decided by the procurement. They just get some comments from us.
So in this project, Billy Cruz recommended the project to be awarded to D4. Is that your understanding?
No, this was. We never had any recommendation to award this to D4.
Okay. But you're aware that the bid status document went out?
We just know that it was awarded to D4, but the payment when we got hold of the notice to proceed.
And are you also aware that that Z4 did not continue the project and they received a stay of procurement?
Well, in fact, when we received that notice to proceed, I was the one who even informed Z4 to have a pre-construction meeting because we believed that it was already awarded to them. But
you believe that it was awarded to D4?
It was awarded because we have a notice to proceed, and the notice to proceed could not be issued unless there is already an official award.
And so did you contact D4 to set up a pre-construction meeting?
Yes, I do.
And did that meeting occur?
Yes, I remember it. It was August 20th, and we sat down and discussed the pre-construction meeting with C4, and also some representatives from the school.
Do you remember what was discussed?
Well, discussed the procedures, how to do it, some preparation safety, building permit, other stuff that are needed prior to the construction start.
After the pre-construction meeting, are you aware that C4 attempted to do the building permit process as you described?
Yeah, I'm aware. In fact, they're asking the assistance also to make some follow-up, especially with EPA.
And they did assist them?
Yeah, by phone calls only.
Now, are you aware that EONS filed an appeal on this matter to the OPA?
Well, after when Chief Malisa said broad, the project will have to continue because of the protest.
And do you remember about what time that occurred?
I can't remember, sir.
Okay. Now, after EON's appeal to the OPA, Are you aware that they withdrew their appeal?
I'm not aware, sir.
Are you aware of any later interaction between GSA and Eon in September?
I'm not really, I'm not really sure about the meeting that occurred between Eon and GSA.
There was a meeting between the two parties, though?
I'm not really sure, sir.
Okay. I guess I'll specify. Are you aware that GSA on September 9th requested Eon to submit additional information to clarify its submission?
Yeah, I was aware of that, but after the fact already, that when they asked me to deliver the letter requesting information, and I believe that such request to our designer to review. Submitted by Eon.
Did GSA ask V4 for any additional information?
I'm not aware.
Now, did you review Taniguchi and Ruth's second evaluation of Eon?
Well, I am in the position to review. If they review and they approve, then I have no recourse but to agree with the findings about engineers.
Right, agree with the findings of engineers, but you can't approve specifications.
I cannot.
Now, are you all aware that after the Taniguchi and Ruth report was issued, the second report was issued on September, let me just get the exact date. When the second Taniguchi and Ruth report was issued on September 16th. Do you recall GSA then asking Eon for additional information to clarify their bid submission?
If I could recall, after the second findings of I noticed that it's the same thing. They submit the approved partial, the rest are not,
right.
Are not approved. So I make a comment that because there is a submittal stage during construction, if it will be awarded, then why don't you get only EONs to make a confirmation to submit the materials for compliance specs? After all, we have the submittal stage during construction. That was my comment.
Right. Were you aware of any requests from GSA to Z4 asking for additional submittals at that time?
As I said a while ago, no.
I have no further questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Ms. Mooney, cross-examination.
Ms. Child, can you give us a little bit of your background?
Well,
you worked for the Department of Education for how long?
I am with the Department of Education for almost 11 years. And with the Department of Public Works, I worked there for 8 years. Prior to my DOE transfer, I was with DPW. And prior to DPW, I was working also with private firm.
So does your background include construction?
Well, when I was about construction, we involved with construction. Not a project engineer at the construction.
And your position at the Department of Education is community improvement projects?
That is the capital improvements project.
CIP.
As a program coordinator.
And are you in charge of any of the, do you have any awareness of where the funds come from for the projects that you're involved in?
I'm not really particular about the funding source, because funding source, I always refer to the tools. What about funding is it? It's federal or local, as long as we have the project approved, then that's my role to facilitate the project. But I'm not really particular then, but of course, as what is this, a local fund or fund? I said, I'm sorry, I'm not in position to answer that question.
Are you familiar with working with design engineers and projects?
I am.
And have you worked with TRMA before?
With the DPW, I worked with them before.
With regard to the rebid of Ocean View Middle School, that's the subject that's before the hearing today, what type of work was involved in that project?
This is more or less a renovation of the existing gym, changing all the also very fibrous flooring and some structural repairs, roofing, ceiling, lighting, etc. Something like it's a total renovation of the existing gymnasium.
Okay. And there were technical specifications prepared by TRMA?
I guess because that's part of the work to prepare technical specs.
You just specified that you were asked by Albert Garcia to review the bid submittals with regard to the four companies that submitted packages or bid proposals on June
24th, 2009? Yes, ma'am. He asked me if I could have some comments regarding the bid documents.
At one point, you ended up taking materials over to TRA to review?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell us how you determined which companies that went, which materials went over to TRMA to review? Did you take all five bid proposals?
I got to remember, I just listed down the four. I can't recall, but I listed down the materials submitted by the contractors and gave the four most, something like V4 and Aeons for the review.
So, yeah, if the record indicated V4's basic bid and Aeon's alternate bid materials are what you took over to TRMA?
Yeah, because I noticed there that the basic bid submitted by the people is the lowest among the basic bid, and also I noticed that Aeon submitted the alternate bid with the other three didn't submit, and I also observed that it's coincidence or whatever, that the alternate bid submitted by Aeon is lower than the basic bid submitted by the C4. So in our remarks there, we signed the billing, which I said a while ago, I also wanted to pay the memo to be signed the billing, that the issue of award will be done by procurement because we cannot determine or we cannot even say comment as to the method of award because there was a basic bid and an alternative bid submitted.
With regard to the materials that you're taking over to the architect to review, were they brochures and literature materials submitted by Z4 and Ian?
There were some reviews, but not total research because it's not simply that all materials were submitted.
The word materials, I was referring to the brochures and the literature being materials, but in a construction project, there's also materials that are involved in the that are being proposed in the building and the repair process of the overall project.
Yes, ma'am.
So, with regard to the literature and brochures that you received from the company, were there literature and brochures for every single piece of equipment and supplies going to be utilized in the overall project?
Not all.
Okay. Did the two companies submit brochures and literature for the same products? I mean, are the same items? So if there was a door, did each company that submitted have brochures and literature for the door?
Not all, ma'am.
So there was a difference between that?
There were some submitted by Aeons and FIFO was not submitted. There were also some submitted by FIFO that Aeons is not submitted.
When you, were you used to reviewing brochures and literatures received from companies as part of a bid package?
Well, as I said, during the bid, we don't review materials during the bid. We review materials, in my experience with the Black Construction, we review the materials during construction stage. We call that submittal review. But during the bid, we don't even require these bid documents, this submittal, this material to be submitted.
And educate me a little bit. You're talking after a contract is signed, after the pre-construction meeting, there's something else called?
That's the time we will review the submittal.
I already have Exhibit 4 over there. Exhibit 4. Thank you. I'd like to.
Was Appellee's Exhibit 4?
Yes, Appellee Exhibit 4, which is a June 23rd, 2009 request for information from Keith Valencia, a D4, to the roll-off contract, the Guam Public School System Administrator and Supply Manager, CC'd to Rod Treya. Do you recall seeing this?
Yes, Ms. Kelly.
Can you clarify for us what the inquiry is being asked?
I see this probably after the period, I suppose, but during the initial stage, I can't remember that you were given this copy.
For education purposes, could you help us understand what would be requested as far as material specifications submitted with proposal, price proposal, and work schedule versus the reminder with regard to product brochures and descriptive literature that you just told us that you were looking at?
Because material specification, when you have the literature, the literature is not really a material specification, it's just a name, brand of such material. The technical specification is admitted during construction.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on while I look for that. On July 27th, or July 16th, 2009, well, we'll give you back in a moment. I'm just going to ask you a question because you testified that you took over the materials to the architects in order for them to review.
Yes, ma'am.
Did there come a time that you got a response back from them as to their reviewing the materials for EON's and C4, EON's ultimate bid and C4's basic bid? You took the literatures and brochures over to the architect to review to see whether or not they met the technical specifications?
I remember at the initial, I gave both people and EON, and architect responded.
Did you review the architect's response?
Well, as I said, because when they approve or they say it's complies with the specs, they review it just going forward with them. Because they are in the position to approve because they prepare the specs.
Okay. So it was. If a memo from the architect was addressed to you, all you did was give it to Billy Cruz?
Yes, ma'am. And also, if it was approved by the standard agency, then I have to deliver that either to Billy or to whatever. But I usually, when it was sent back to us from the standard agency, that's the time we forwarded that to payment.
With regard to the process that takes place in September and October, you're involved, Billy Cruz is off-island for a period of time, and you're involved in the review of material, or the request coming in from GSA?
from my logo when GSA wrote a letter to Panicucci requesting for the review, then I was the one who handled that to Panicucci rule. At the same time, when they're done, I get back also to GSA and give them the findings of Panicucci rule.
Is it your understanding that the materials ever met technical specs for either Z4 or EN? Or did the architects have comments?
The comments from Z4 was only during the initial, as I said, but on September, there was no more request for the review on Z4 material. All the review belongs, all the review of the request to review these materials are based on EON's submission. I can't remember that GSA requested review of the materials for the report.
Did you at one point in time defer review of the materials to the architect at the time of the construction meeting that would take place as long as EON's would meet their agree to do it at their same bid price?
Yeah, I remember I made a comment that was, because as I said a while ago, the first that request, the findings of Panicucci, they comply and there are some items that need further clarification. Second time around, the same thing. So I made a comment that we might as well just have a confirmation letter from them to comply with the specification after all there is the submittal space for construction, as long as there is no cost change in the change of the material.
Appellant, there's a blue notebook in front of you, and it's Appellant Exhibit 27. Is that your signature down there on the Billy Cruz?
Yes, ma'am.
And was it dated 10/7/2009?
Yes, ma'am.
And it's going back to the GSA Supply Management, or Chief Procurement Officer, or is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. This is the second review of technicals requested by EONS. Not requested, I mean, by GSA to EONS.
It says there's a checkbox that says meet specifications or non-compliance with specifications. I see a check in the box that says meet specifications, but then I see remarks that follow that. Can you clarify?
Yeah, because they meet specification. However, there are some items that need further clarification, and they always say they will comply, they will comply. So I decided to have this comment, but to just make a confirmation letter that this the material shall comply with the technical specs. Because as I said, technical specs is somewhat is more extensive than just mere literature.
Can you read your remarks for us?
Requires EON Enterprise Corporation confirmation letter that all materials shall comply with technical specs with no additional cost of the bid price during construction stage of project.
Thank you. No further questions.
Mr. Jackson, any redirect?
Mr. Troia, there was a letter dated July 27th, and I think it would be in the tab number 2, at the very end, signed by Mr. Billy Cruz to the administrator. in the, during, before the end of the tap, before you get to tap three. It's in tap two, but it's
okay.
Yes.
I saw it, Mom.
Okay. Did you prepare this letter?
Yes, I did.
So this, you said earlier that you were asked to review the document, and this is based on, and so this memo is as a result of your review?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Going back to the other letter in tab number 27, under the remarks column, you read it. So those are your remarks, not Pete Sinicklis or Claudia Estazi?
Yes, this is my comments.
And that is in your handwriting?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know if Ms. Eons ever submitted that confirmation letter?
I have no idea because I don't know even if there was a protest or other issues to Eons.
Earlier you stated that from your experience that when it comes to the specifications, that's normally, at what phase is the specifications reviewed?
During the submittal stage. The submittal stage is during, after the purchase order or the contract has been signed, then that's the time that we review the technical submittals. Before the contractors could even buy the materials, we have to review whether it complies with the specs. After the award.
After the award. So, what would happen, let's say, if there were a lot of items that didn't meet qualification or certification?
Well, if it doesn't meet, as long as it's submitted the bid and the bid was accepted, then they have to comply because it keeps back and forth until they comply. And if the material they submitted is more expensive, then that is the risk when they submitted the bid.
And when you said it goes back and forth, who would do this back and forth, this review, to ensure?
Well, if we have a designer, if we have a construction management people, then it's the CM to review, to reject, or to approve.
Who's but the CM?
Right now, I think, I don't know whether we have the CM for this is supposed to be Panigotti Road, but at this, as in this case, we just requested a Panigotti Road to review, in spite of the fact I don't know whether there was already a contract for them to be the CM of this project.
Now, from have you been involved in other CIP projects for DOE, like the ones that were funded by the bond?
I remember we had this one, this repair of canopy.
And who did the review of the specifications before they were purchased?
Because we had no engineering in charge, then I took responsibility for doing it because I did some of my catalog there at the office. I prepared my specs and reviewed the specs myself.
So you have reviewed some of the specs,
yes,
for
ma'am,
other DOE related projects?
Yes, ma'am. That is when we don't have a designer.
Is that common?
Well, I used to do that because I'm only alone there in the office. So I have the reports that prepare the scope and then review whether the material comply with my specification that I did and then monitor the project. Something like it's a one-month project.
So, and if there was a problem in the scope or the materials, was your work reviewed by anyone else within DOE?
So far, there's someone there that review, but it's not really a thorough review. They could be a recovery office to pronounce that to take a look at the construction stage.
I'm sorry?
We have also a recovery office that we work
recovery
together.
Office?
Yeah. We work together with Fred. And that it's more on the
who is Fred?
Fred Moser.
Okay.
And we work together with something like, but he is not really a decision to take, but we have some comments. For example, raw, the material, or another thing, but the main review is done by myself now.
Okay. So for any type of CIP project or projects of this nature, unless it was done by DPW or an architect, you would have done most of those.
For small projects and the non-profit projects, we have to hire the A&E.
Okay. What level is considered small?
Something like below 1,000, as long as we could get in the house, as long as we have that project done before, then we could just follow the specs that we did before.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Fryer.
Is there any redirect or recross for any of the points?
No, sir.
Ms. Moon?
No, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Troya, I'm going to excuse you as a witness at this time, but I'm going to direct you as well to not discuss your testimony with any of the parties or any other witnesses until these proceedings have concluded. So you're excused at this time, subject to recall by any of the parties later in these proceedings. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you for coming today.
Yes.
Please leave the exhibits where they are. Mr. Jackson, do you have any other witnesses?
No further witnesses.
Does the appellant rest?
Yes, sir. The appellant rests.
Okay. Ms. Mooney, it is now your case in chief. You may call your first witness.
Pete San Nicholas. Oh. Can I ask you to make sure I just put Pete on the stand. I think I need Fred over here to follow me. Do you know how long ago that's been? 4:30?
Well, we hope to try to finish today, but I was thinking we go to 12:30.
I'm trying to. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just trying to coordinate my next witness to be here in the hopper ready if we so. I'm going to do that. I was going to call Fred Mishahara, and then I was going to call the architects. I'm trying to time things to keep the schedule, you know, moving, but also in keeping with what their schedule is.
Okay. What we'll do is we'll break after we're through with Mr. Nicholas, and then we will proceed at 1:30.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Fred has court at 2, so I'll just send you that. He'll be done quickly.
Please state your full name. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background and where you work?
Right now, I'm a barrister at GSA. I've been there 7 years. Before that, I worked 1 year at GPA. Before that, I worked 19 years federal government as a contract specialist. I've been in the by Depot 18 years and 1 year in the public work center.
Thank you. You are you currently working at the GSA or do you work for the DOE?
I currently work for GSA.
And could you tell us back in 2009, did there come a time when you were working for GSA that you became involved with the DOE procurement?
Okay. Back in 2009,
mm-hmm.
I was... acting SME, but oversee, you know, the GA payment. But somehow that got rescinded sometime in October because, you know, something about I have to make a choice between overtime and the SMA. I was in the best interest for me to go back to being a buyer too.
So even when you were in the capacity as the acting SMA, supply manager administrator, were you working with GSA versus DOE?
I was working mostly with DOE, procurement, strictly DOE stuff.
DOE stuff, but who was your employer agency?
I was still under, hired by GSA, DOE.
Okay. Can you tell us when you first became involved with the Z4 EN, with regard, we'll call it ISD 008 2009 rebid for the Ocean View Middle School Gymnasium?
Okay, I got involved in the ending. Okay, I got involved when EON's filed that appeal with OPA.
When did they file it? August 8th or August 28th, 2009, if that's what the date of the appeal is when you got involved.
That's correct.
And can you tell us in what capacity you got involved? What was your role then?
Okay, at that time, I was handling all of DOE's, RFPs, and bids, you know, when GSA took over. So, you know, the chief procurement officer told me to go ahead and I would prefer from that point on to where we're at now.
Did you work independently or did you work under the supervision and approval of the chief procurement officer?
I worked under the supervision and approval of the CPO.
In that capacity, did you have occasion to contact the OPA with regard to the appeal that was filed by EM?
Yes.
And what was the nature of that contact?
Okay, at that point, you know, we took a look at the file and we reviewed it, and what we noticed was there was no performance bond received by Z4 company, and there was no purchase order, formal purchase order issued, and there was no formal contract issued. So when we saw that, we also took a look at EON's submittal of the ultimate bid, and we found that they did provide a spreadsheet, literature, and an explanation of the ultimate bid. So when we took a look at all of that, you know, we asked OPA if we can have discussions with EONs to see if we can resolve it at a lower level, you know, rather than going through the whole hearing process. And they did grant us that approval. So from there, you know, we just worked our way through that hearing process.
Thank you. your review that took place as to whether or not the alternate bid met, Ian's alternate bid met the requirements of the ISB rebid proposal package, did it take place with regard to, initially, did it take place with regard to just the materials received at the bid opening and part of the contract procurement file history?
Okay, like I said, we took a look whether there was a binding contract, and we saw that there was no binding contract. The performance bond was never received. There was no purchase order issued. There was a purchase order number listed in one of those letters from a DOE correspondent, and there was no contract signed. We also took a look at the evaluation from the AME, TRME, and you know, we found out that G4 didn't meet specs on one of the items, and E1 didn't meet specs on five of the items. We also took a letter, took a look at the letter that DOE, SME or procurement manager, his response to denying Eon's the reconsideration. And you know,
do you remember what the reason for that denial was?
Okay, the reason for the denial was failure to explain. And then when we took a look at Eon's submittal package for the alternate bid, they had a spec sheet and they had all the literature.
And just for a point of clarification, that was already in the file at the time you're doing your review after August 28th?
Yes, that was all in the file. So, you know, we noticed that there was an error on the response. On denying Eon's that reconsideration. So, based on all the facts that we saw at that point, the reason why Eon submitted the protest was they were denied the reconsideration. So, based on the facts that we saw in the file, you know, we found out that we could go ahead and reconsider Eon's ultimate bid package.
For education purposes, if you could just take me through generally in procurement how an ISB process is approached with regard to a low bidder and the next lowest bidder.
Okay.
As far as evaluating.
As far as ESA's process?
Yes.
Okay, we go ahead and advertise the bid. Then we have a bid opening. And when we have a bid opening, we clock in all the bid packages received.
Mm-hmm.
And then we read out all the, first we check if all the required documentations are there. And then if we have all the bidders provide all the required documentation, then we read out the bid packages. And, that's it. Once we read out all the bid packages received, then we go to the evaluation stage.
In the evaluation stage, if you need clarification, do you go to all the bidders for clarification? Or what are you doing at that point in time?
Okay. Once the bid is open, what we do is we prepare a bid specification approval, and we send that with a copy of all the bid specs from each vendor to the requesting agency, wherever they may be, and then they would have to approve the bid packages that are submitted.
With regard to September of 2009, when you are determining to go ask permission to go talk to Eon, by the OPA in order to resolve the protests that had been filed. Why did you not also go and talk to Z4 Corporation?
Okay. First, when we requested from OPA. We went ahead and talked to the TRNA, the engineering company, to see, you know, just to understand their evaluation process of what they did. After we did that, we spoke to the lawyers from Eon, you know, and I just told them that we're willing to reconsider the request for reconsideration. So at that point, when we told them that we were willing to reconsider, they agreed to go ahead and dismiss their appeal with OPA.
There was a mention in their dismissal that they had been advised by the GSA that there had been no award made.
Yeah. Like I said, from what we...
Who did that come from? Was that from the chief procurement officer?
That came from the chief procurement officer on the basis that no performance bond was issued and was received from G4, and no purchase order was issued and no contract was signed.
And at this point in time, we're at September 6, 2009, and there's no performance bond received?
No performance bond received. Okay, so when we took a look at the evaluation from Gucci or whatever, TRNA, we saw that Eon didn't meet specs on 5 items and G4 didn't meet specs on 1 item. So since we already agreed to reconsider the ultimate bid, we were working our way up from the low bidder then to the next, to the high bidder.
For clarification, the low bidder is what company?
The low bidder was Eon's Corporation.
And so your process would be to work with the lowest bidder?
Yes. Okay, so, like I said, we spoke with the A&E company, we spoke with Mir, and Eon's, and so from there we just went to continue on with the procurement process from there. So, told Eon that the burden of proof is on them to prove that their specifications, you know.
Yeah, and that's Appellee's Exhibit 12, which is, a compilation. I guess I'm looking for the earlier one, but... Give you some tape.
Based on the...
Hold one second. With regard to Exhibit 12, you're sending something over to the GSA, the DOE, Facilities Management, to review. Is that correct?
Yes.
And where did you... And what are you sending and where did you get it from?
Okay. So this letter is dated September 9th to Eon. Okay, these comments here came from the A&E contractor.
Were they from
TRNA? These were the comments.
They were from July 16th, 2009, those original comments?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay,
And so on September 9th, when you're reviewing that, you're sending those original comments to Eon?
Yes. Okay, so, you know...
And the purpose of sending those comments to Eon was?
The purpose of sending these comments to Eon was for clarification.
Okay.
On the items that, you know, they were in question.
Okay. Did you get clarification from Eon then?
Yes, we did.
Do you know what... Do you recall a date?
don't recall what date, but I know that the response we got from this letter,
mm-hmm.
we forward over to DOE maintenance,
uh-huh.
and they in turn forwarded over to the AME contractor for evaluation.
Okay. Did you get a response back then from the, after you sent it over to the facilitator, or the DME, or DOE facilitator manager, which would have been Billy Cruz? You sent it over for...
Billy Cruz, Rod Trier, yeah.
Rod Trier.
Yeah.
And they took it out and had it reviewed by the
DME? They took it and gave it to TRNA.
Mm-hmm.
And TRNA gave us a response on what Ian submitted.
Okay. On September 18th, did you then have to write further to Ian for further clarification?
Yes, we did. Okay, at that point, I think there were still three items in question.
And did you get a response then from Ian on September 22nd, 2009?
Yes, we did.
And you sent that out again?
We sent it again to DOE maintenance. And go and send it to the TRNA.
And then on 10/7/2009, you got something back from Rod Trier?
To the TRNA, yes.
And what did it, do you recall what his comments were to you? If you recall.
Okay.
There's an exhibit I can give you to. 1 second. Have a master. It should be.
Okay, the second time we got a reply from...
10-7 one, which tab? Tab 27? One second. Tab 27 in the blue book, appellant 27. Does that look familiar to you?
Yes. Yeah, this was dated September 25th. Okay, and when we get that, when we got the response from Eons, mm-hmm. second time we forwarded over again to DOE maintenance and to TRNA, and then we got this reply back.
Did you say that it met specifications?
Meet specifications. And then Rob Trier put a note. They want to ensure that Eons is going to meet specifications with no price increase. So shall comply with chemical specs with no additional cost. Okay.
Did you get such a confirmation letter from Eons as to meeting?
Yes, we did. Okay, when I received this, we wrote another letter to Eons for them certifying that they're going to comply with all specifications as stated in the bid packet with no additional cost. And we did get that in writing from them.
direct your attention to appellant tab number 24. Are you familiar with that letter at all?
Yes.
Was Eon, in fact, stating that they would meet specifications all along?
Yes.
It's
they will do what is required, you know, based on the specs needed, whatever the company required, and they will conform at no additional cost.
If you could help me overall with your background in procurement, I'm going to direct your attention to Pelley's Exhibit 1, which is the ISB proposal package. And that's what you can move that blue book away from you then, too. Okay. With regard to that document, can you tell me whether or not it was permitted as part of this bid proposal in order to submit an alternate bid, a basic bid and an alternate bid?
Okay, yeah, you show on the general terms and conditions.
I think it's there.
Yeah, item number 9.
And what does it say?
Okay, it says bidder's prices. The government will consider not more than two basic and alternate item prices. And the bidder shall explain fully each price for supplies, materials, equipment, and or specified services offered, comply with specifications and the product. The basic or alternate bid meets the minimum requirement specification, cost and other factors will be considered. Failure to explain this requirement will result in rejection of the bid. Section 23.
Could you explain to us, is that a clause that's commonly used at the GSA with regard to procurement of supplies and other products?
Ms. Mary, can you speak in your mic, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that a clause that's commonly used over the GSA with regard to ISB packages?
Yes, it is, ma'am. It is used occasionally, but not for all items.
Could you explain to us when that clause is typically used?
So we will use this for purchase of vehicles or purchase of computers. Stuff like that needs to have seen it done.
And what is the purpose behind the use of the clause from a procurement standpoint?
Just to try and get the best price for the government, as long as it meets the minimum specification.
In a matter where there's construction involved, when you're taking it out in an IFB, aren't you asking the bidder to agree that they're going to meet specifications, meet or equal the specifications that are called forth as part of the document?
Yes.
In this particular IFB, there's a in the general terms, there's another section 20 asking for descriptive literature.
Okay.
Can you read that for us?
Okay, descriptive literature. Descriptive literature as specified in this solicitation must be furnished.
Okay, Ms. Mooney, the witness does not need to read the record. I'm interested in what the witness's personal knowledge is concerning these issues.
Correct.
Please proceed.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Stand corrected. If you could tell us about the use of that particular clause, section 20.
Okay, descriptive literature. If this doc is checkmarked, then bidders, prospective bidders, are required to submit descriptive literature explaining what their products or items are, explaining the specifications.
Are they required to only submit on a limited number of the products they're bidding on in the IFB, or all of them based on the language in that clause from a procurement perspective?
Okay, like, we use this clause a lot. So, like, big groups, they have, this is a mandatory, okay? Especially computer equipment. We need to know the exact specifications of these items. From my understanding, you know, as far as construction involves a lot of materials and supplies. So, you know, I'm not sure if it's practical, you know, to submit descriptive literature on every single product for construction project.
With regard to this particular IFB, could you also help us understand the Government of Guam Special Reminder to Prospective Bidders page?
Okay, this is a check.
It's still part of exhibit, appellant, or police exhibit one.
Page 2.
Thank you.
Okay, this is a standard checklist of what mandatory documents are required, documents and whatever the requirements of the bid package.
And is item number 7 checked on that?
Yes.
And is that for product brochures and descriptive literature?
Yes.
Is there also, on page 9, is there also a special requirement? I'll ask you, you know, we are in the documents the requirement for the performance clauses.
Okay, that will be under the general terms and conditions. Okay, item number 12, page 15.
And was there a performance bond required as part of this?
For this particular bid, yes, 100% performance bond is required.
And when is that normally presented as part of the overall procurement process?
Okay. We usually try and get this 100% performance bond before a purchase order or contract is issued. It's mandatory. We cannot move forward without it.
Can you utilize a bid bond for purposes of performance with regard to a contract of $700,000 to $800,000 range?
Okay. If performance bond is not required, then we can use a big bond based on this public law 27127. Whoever is the successful bidder that provided a 15% bid bond in the initial submission, if they are the successful bidder and performance bond is not required, then the government will hold the bid bond and use it as a performance bond. Then I think the intent of the legislature was small businesses out there were hurting and trying to get the financing, so they came up with this law to help. But in any case, if the bid package states for 100% performance bond is required, then it's required.
With regard to the overall procurement history, when is it that a bid bond, which was given at the time of this middle of the bid, is released back to the bidders?
Okay. After all the evaluation is completed and an award is made, or the bid is canceled, and we issue the bid status, then we go ahead and return the bid bond to the vendors that are not successful. And then if the successful bidder did submit the performance bond, then we will return the bid bond.
So if there's an award made, at the time of award, you release back the bid bond?
Yeah, once all the funds are sent.
May I have a moment? The chief procurement officer is not present with us today. Could you let us or advise us and let us know as to the actual appeal by V4 Corporation, that's the subject matter of this action, which is OPA PA 09012? Whether or not you prepared any of the response to the protesters' V4's request for reconsideration or their actual protest in this action. Did you prepare any of those documents with Claudia?
Okay, are you talking about V4's protest?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yes, V4's protest in English. Yeah.
Okay, once we send out the bid status,
mm-hmm.
Claudia, the CPO, did the response on her own. Which was in accordance to, whatever happened throughout the whole process.
Did there come a time that you issued a notice to propose award to Ian?
Yes, I did. We sent them a letter requesting that they were considered to be the successful bidder, and that an award may be given to them. However, they would have to submit 100% performance bond in the total amount of whatever, $700,000.
In what period of time would they have to submit the performance bond by?
So we give them 14 days. Anything later than that will delay the contract.
Could you also then issue a notice of change bid status?
Yes, we did. And we sent a revised bid status.
Did that fall to all the bidders?
That went to all the...
Including?
That went to all the bidders that submitted, yes.
And C4?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, any cross-examination?
Yes. Can I just ask
you? Sure. I understand that both Aaron Jackson turned to the G4. I have a few questions for you. First of all, I just want to clarify, at the beginning of your testimony, you stated that you talked, some of GSA talked to counsel of your mayor, Ben Thompson, is that what you're talking about, my law firm?
Whoever the law firm that was representing Evans?
Okay.
Okay, we talked to Evans, you know, and I guess they have their representative with them.
During those discussions, you never talked with Z4 Corporation?
No, we didn't, sir.
You never discussed anything at that time with Z4's attorney?
No, we didn't.
This was simply between GSA and Eon?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, we were just talking about the performance bond. You just indicated that the award was issued to Eons for this project.
We were in the process of doing that.
And you stated that Eons would have 14 days to submit a performance bond. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the standard form we use.
And have they submitted a performance bond?
I believe they did, sir. But somehow in between that process, that's when the appeal came in, okay, from Z4.
So they submitted after the appeal?
I'm not really sure.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You also just indicated that Eons would have 14 days to submit the performance bond. And if they didn't, it would delay the signing of the formal contract. Is that what you just said?
It would delay us issuing a purchase order, and then calling them in, yes, signing the contract, yes.
So if they didn't submit it, you would delay it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you a few questions about the bid bond. Generally, you hold on to the bid bond until you receive the performance bond?
If a performance bond is required, yes, we do.
So until you receive the performance bond, you'll hold the bid bond as surety.
Right.
Okay. So if there are any problems until the performance bond is received, then you'll forfeit, or the bidder would forfeit the bid bond. Is that correct?
If the government intends to assess damages,
right,
they have that means of doing so.
Okay. And you also stated that that recently the public law 27-127 it was enacted to help small businesses obtain performance bonds, because before then it was really difficult.
Yeah, this law was passed about 4 or 5 years ago.
And generally, the issue of the performance bond is the new requirements are something to kind of enable bidders to kind of join the process.
That was the intention.
Okay.
But if the bid requires a performance bond,
yeah,
then we just have to follow whatever is in the bid package.
Right. Of course. Now, so in this case, are you aware that the bid status was issued as due form?
On the first part or on the second part?
Well, the rebid project, back in August 6, 2009, it was issued by the DOE. I'm just curious if you're...
We saw that, sir.
Okay.
And we saw the purchase order number was typed in there.
Now, so there was a purchase order was... It was drafted, but it wasn't issued.
It was never issued because we found the original in the big package.
Okay. And then, as far as... Now, these construction contracts, it's like, you know, this one is valued at $700,000, $800,000 to $1 million contract. So in these construction contracts, the DOE or GSA requires a formal contract.
Okay, I cannot speak for DOE process,
right,
but I could speak for GSA process.
Okay.
Okay.
So then after the award is issued, then later comes the signing of the actual formal contract.
Yeah.
Okay,
the way we do it in GSA is this form, you know, the bid invitation award, whenever the vendor signs off, the authorized representative, then whoever is the successful bidder, we would type in the contract number, amount, date. The chief procurement officer will sign it, and then we would bring the authorized representative of the vendor down, and then once the chief procurement officer signs, then the vendor will sign. This becomes the contract, and then it becomes binding, and then we issue the purchase order at the same time.
Okay. So essentially, the bidders will submit a bid, and that's kind of like an offer.
Yes.
And then when you submit the notice of intent, that's saying that you intend to accept their offer. And then the actual signing of the document is the actual formal contract point.
Yes.
Now, the performance bond is required once the actual formal contract is signed. Is that right?
Performance bond is required
at the actual
before we even get to this stage.
I believe earlier you said it was due with the formal contract.
We send out the letter requesting for the performance bond. Once we get that, we prepare this document and we'll prepare the purchase order.
Okay. And then you actually, the performance bond is actually required once you issue the purchase order.
Before, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Now I just want to ask you a couple of questions about once GSA entered the scene. There was an appeal at Eon, and GSA responded to Eon's appeal.
GSA did not respond to Eon's appeal.
When Eon appealed to the OPA?
Yeah. Eon's appeal with OPA?
Right.
Yeah.
So the GSA took over after Eon's appeal to the OPA.
That's when I became familiar with this.
And so then that's at this point...
Mr. Jackson, please speak into your mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. So then that's the point when Eon began discussions with GSA about the appeal.
Okay. At that point, we got approval from OPA to see whether we can do that.
Okay. So then at that time, GSA began reviewing the file and to see if there was any merit to Eon's
request for reconsideration. Yes.
Now, one of Eon's, have you had a chance to review Eon's appeal to the OPA?
From my understanding, sir, they just wanted a reconsideration on the ultimate bid.
Now, as part of the review, you indicated that GSA reviewed the spreadsheets provided by Eon. Am I remembering that correctly?
We saw the spreadsheet. We saw the literature that they submitted. But it's the function of the A&E contractor to review all those technical specifications.
So whether they submitted the proper literature, you would defer to the...
We would defer to DOE maintenance, and then in turn refer to the A&E contractor.
Okay. Will you take a look at appellant exhibit number 10? It's in the blue notebook. In your review of Eon's alternate bid and basic bid, do you recall seeing this spreadsheet?
Yes, sir. This is what we saw.
Was this document submitted at the time of opening?
It was there when we were reviewing the file. Yes, it was submitted.
Okay.
The time of opening.
This wasn't a part of the bid submittal opening, though.
It was. This was part of the bid package that we saw. That's when the chief procurement officer made a determination to grant them the reconsideration.
So that the reconsideration was based on that spreadsheet?
This was all the literature that they submitted.
Okay. Can you take a look at the total amount at the bottom? Well, it's first at the top right, it says difference in price, basic bid, and alternate bid. And at the bottom, it lists $163,000.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall the difference between Eon's basic bid and Eon's alternate bid?
Yes.
I believe it's about $250,000?
Yes.
So there's according to this spreadsheet, there's about $100,000 worth of products that weren't explained. Okay. There, hold on. Let me, go ahead.
Okay, we did ask Eon's that question. And their response was the primary bid, they were all in it from England, which is high quality stuff.
Right.
And the ultimate bid, they were all in it somewhere in the Orient. So that is, I guess, if you consider the difference between a Mercedes Benz and a Toyota, that's what they were basically quoting.
Okay. Now, if you take a look at this explanation, down there, item number 7, okay, it says scoreboard. Can you describe the difference in price between what Eon considers the difference in price between a scoreboard, that their substitute scoreboard in the alternate bid and the basic bid? It's indicated in the right-hand column.
Can I just... determinant?
Well, it nothing's listed, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, as far as, let's take a look at item number 1, the athletic resilient flooring.
Is there any indication regarding labor?
Okay, like I said, sir, you know, this part here is handled by maintenance and the AME part, you know.
Now, do you see anything on this explanation regarding hardware? Do you see anything on there regarding a coiling up door?
Okay, if you're asking me,
yeah, just,
no,
just
I don't,
now.
I don't know.
Okay,
yeah. Now, let me switch gears. We take a look at Appellant's Exhibit 12, also in that blue notebook. After Eon's reviewed this document, and this is the report by the architect. After he reviewed that document, that's when the GSA said that made the determination that Eon's bid had been properly explained. Okay, we saw this during our review, and then you know, TRME. We noticed that Eon didn't meet five of the items.
Right.
He still didn't meet one of the items. We also saw that letter from Billy Cruz, the maintenance manager, stating that both Z4 and Eon have the capability to complete this project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So based on what the comments from the A&E company, we worked with this document, I think.
Now, as far as whether it was determined that Eon's bid was fully explained, that determination was based on all the documents that are in the file at opening. Is that right?
That was based on all the documents that was submitted, based on this document,
mm-hmm.
and based on the comments and responses from TRME.
So in determining whether Eon's was fully explained, did you look at any written submittals after the opening at all?
When we got classifications from Eon, whatever they gave us, the response to these comments, we forwarded over to DOE maintenance and AME contractor.
So basically, whenever the architect reviewed Eon's bid, then GSA reviewed what was submitted to determine whether their bid was properly explained.
That was the TRNA's function.
Okay.
So we cannot not that well informed on an actual specification.
So you're basically, GSA was relying on the architect's determination whether they had enough information to evaluate the product?
To see whether it meets specifications, yes. That is the function here.
So then, in October, or actually in September and October, it was determined by GSA that the bid should be lawfully awarded to Eon.
Once we came to that point where the A&E and DOE maintenance agreed that Eon specs met, and once Eon agreed that they were willing to do the project at the original cost that they submitted in the bid submittal, then that was when it was determined that we were going to move forward and award to Eon.
So then, at that point, it was the DOE determined if they met the spec?
Yes.
Do you remember who made that determination, DOE?
Okay, it will be whoever signed off on that document.
I believe it was Rob Triad.
Okay, Rob Triad at that time, because from my understanding, Billy was friendly.
Okay, so Rob Triad was the one who made the determination that Eon met the specification.
No, not Rob. It was from Rob to the A&E.
Right.
Yeah, once A&E gave him the input to Rob, and the A&E contacted, made that determination, then we'll sign off the document further over to GSA.
Now then, when after that process concluded, then GSA issued a revised bid status.
Yes, sir.
And then at that point, Z4's bid was rejected due to high price, is that correct?
Yes.
And at that point, it wasn't determined that Z4's bid didn't conform to the specs.
Okay. Like I said, like the process we use at GSA, we try to work with the lowest bidder.
Right.
If we came to the point where Eon's didn't meet specs at all, and we got that in writing from the A&E, and from DOE maintenance, then they will reject Eon's bid package as non-responsive, do not comply with the specification. Then we will proceed with the next step, which was to write a letter to Z4 and ask them to clarify that item that they did not meet specs on, to prove that they can comply with that specification. So we just take it step by step, and until we came to that point where Eon didn't need at all, then we will go to the next step, and that will be to go to Z4.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you for answering questions. I don't have any more. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Okay, Ms. Mooney, any redirect?
Just for clarification purposes, there sounds like there's two different issues involved with evaluating E.ON. It's one, whether or not the alternate bid was explained as opposed to the basic bid. And then the second one, which is the same evaluation going on for E.ON and C4, whether or not they met the technical specs. Is that correct? Based on the literature that they submitted. Are those two separate issues, or is it all lumped together?
Okay, it was all lumped together, but we weren't looking at the primary bid. We were only looking at the low bidder, the low bid, which was E.ON's ultimate bid. G4's bid, which was the next bidder. So we were looking at the lowest bid that meets specifications. We were looking for the most responsive and responsible bidder. That's what we were looking at.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. St. Nicholas, this would be, is the nature of this bid, is this considered a construction project, construction bid? The nature of this bid.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Does GSA Newell handle construction projects?
Okay, we don't usually handle construction projects, but, you know, we do assist in certain times, like right now we oversee Port Authority of Guam's procurement. They do have construction authority, so that falls under GSA.
In the case of the Port Authority, I think the chief procurement officer took away the port's procurement activities. So you have been handling construction projects of the port?
Okay, no.
Okay. It's my understanding that DPW is supposed to handle anything 50,000 and above related to construction. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
So, let me rephrase the question again. Has GSA handled past construction projects from any entity that it has determined authority over?
As far as major ones? No.
No. So is this the first time that GSA handled a project of this size? To your recollection.
As far as construction project?
Yes.
Yeah, to my recollection, yes.
Okay. When this came through, why didn't GSA then turn this over to DPW?
Okay. When GSA took over DOE?
Yes.
We just took an assessment of everything that they have, and we just tried to work with what they have. So if this was already in process, then we were just trying to finish it to the
end. But is this within your own procurement authority to handle construction projects? Your own GSA's authority?
I'm not really sure, no.
Are you aware of a memorandum of understanding between DPW and DOE regarding the funding of this bond funding that DPW was tasked to handle all construction projects under the bond? Are you aware of that memorandum?
No.
Okay. So, again, just to recap, GSA normally does not handle construction projects.
No.
A construction project you would turn over to DPW?
Yes.
But in this case, GSA took it upon itself to handle this construction project, even when the first appeal came in.
Okay, like whatever ongoing projects that was there on DOE side,
mm-hmm.
and then and the government signed off on the MOU that GSA was going to oversee DOE procurement, we just inherited everything and went from there.
But it's normally not in your authority or in your process to handle construction projects, is that correct?
That's correct.
I have a question regarding the prior appeal, because the appeal is addressed to you, Mr. Pete Sineklis, as acting. This is the appeal where Eon filed it. And I just want to clarify something more for the record. Was it your understanding that the appeal was to be canceled, or was the appeal to be re-awarded to Eon?
Okay. The appeal from Eon?
Yes, the appeal from Eon.
Okay.
What was the understanding you had reached with Mr. Berman, who was the counsel for?
The understanding with Mr. Berman was that we would reconsider the alternate bid. That's all they were asking for. The first time they protested to DOE, they were denied based on the reason that they used earlier to explain. And then when we took a look at the file, and they were just asking just to be reconsidered, the understanding was that we would go ahead and give them that reconsideration for the alternate bid.
So there was never any intent to cancel?
Cancel the bid?
Yes. Yeah.
No.
The reason I ask is because OPA might have erred in our decision, because we said to cancel the IFB, but there was never any intent to cancel the IFB. So I just want to put this on the record, that's all. I'm just seeking clarification from your understanding.
Yeah, from my understanding, okay, we knew that Ocean View needed a gym.
Yes.
The board policy was trying to get this project going. And they also, you know, DOE wanted to move forward because of the bond money. But, you know, there were the protests and what have you. You know. So we just took a look at where we were at and tried to move forward.
But again, you had no intention of canceling the bid itself, but rather to...
No, just to grant Eon's reconsideration. Which is what they were requesting.
I just wanted to correct that for our record. Okay. If I could ask you to turn to Exhibit 12. I think it would be the yellow one, the first one, Exhibit 12. And turn to page 9, that's labeled 99, page 99 down at the corner. In this memorandum, there's on page 2, PSN, is that your initial?
That's my initial.
Okay. You attach, then on page 101 is the letter of July 16th to from Mark Bruce.
Yes.
Did the TRMA ever issue another letter besides this July 16th, or was this the only letter to your recollection?
This is the only letter.
So your letter of September 9th was really based on the July 16th letter?
Yes.
And do you recall what was the response to this letter from Mark Ruth or his company? Was there a response similar to a July 16th letter? Was there any response to that effect?
Okay. when TRNA wrote this letter, there was no response. Somehow, nothing was ever done after this letter was written.
So you were seeking clarification?
Yeah, so when we saw this, we checked with DOE maintenance and asked them what did they do after this. Nothing ever happened after this letter. So we just took it from there.
Okay. Right. So you were following up again for a response?
Yeah, once we got the approval from your office to see, you know, whether we can move forward. Yes.
Could I ask you to turn in the blue binder to exhibit number 10? You referred to this earlier about the spreadsheet from Eon.
Yes.
Okay. And you mentioned, you mentioned one of the reasons was that some of the items were ordered from London and was too expensive. And you were making reference like to a Mercedes.
Yeah, that's the response with that.
Well, when you said you made you got a response, did you call Eon?
No, that was just during the discussion that we had.
When did that discussion occur?
When you gave us the okay.
Okay.
To go ahead and meet with them.
Okay.
You know.
During that discussion.
During that discussion. Okay, and this text, I think TRMA based their evaluation also on this.
Based on this spreadsheet.
Yes. So the document was submitted at the time of the submission.
Leon's basic bid was about $998,000. The spreadsheet says accounts for $163,000. And at the bottom, it says major items different. Major items. So there's about $106,000 yet to be accounted for in the difference. What was your understanding of that difference?
All I know, ma'am, is since that was already a high bidder, we weren't even looking at the primary bid. You know, $900,000.
Eon's basic bid.
Yeah, G4 came in at $804, and the ultimate bid. So we were only taking a look at the low bidders. You know, I cannot account for what Eon.
But this is Eon's bid.
Yeah. Like that conversation you said, you know, it just happens, you know, we just ask a question and we never then.
What was the question you asked?
We just asked, you know, why is there a big difference?
A big difference between what?
The primary and the ultimate.
Yes, that's my question too. Okay, his primary bid was $998,000.
Right.
And his alternate bid was $729,000.
Right.
So that's over almost, that's about $270,000 difference.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I are asking the same question. What accounted for that difference?
Okay.
Yeah. Why the big difference between his primary and his alternate?
Correct? Yeah.
That was your question.
Yeah. And his response to me, just, you know, whatever, was that the primary they were ordering from London.
He does make that comment if you go back to look at the spreadsheet on exhibit. And he accounts for $109,000 for his made in London, and that's primarily the flooring. Correct? But there's still $106,000 that has not generally been accounted for.
Do you follow?
Yeah.
So you were satisfied that the $163,000 took care of the difference between the alternate and the basic bid?
Okay. Like I said, stated earlier, we were just looking at the alternate bid. We were just looking at the maintenance and on the TRMA to see whether the alternate bid met the specs.
I am trying to ask if you said earlier that you wanted to know the difference between their basic bid and their alternate bid. And that difference is $269,000 approximately. $269,000. And $164,000 of that has been explained.
Okay.
It's been explained by this table, right? Of which $100,000 is explained as coming from London, being ordered from London. Where is the difference? Where is the explanation for the difference?
I'm sorry, ma'am, I don't know the answer for that.
Were you satisfied then that the $163,000 was sufficient?
As far as the primary bid?
No, in evaluating the alternate bid, were you satisfied that this was sufficient to, that the alternate bid of Eon was sufficient based on this explanation?
Okay, was I satisfied? As far as the difference between the primary and the alternate bid?
Or were you satisfied that the alternate bid was sufficiently explained?
Okay. When we saw the spreadsheet, when we saw a bunch of literature, that's when we made the determination that they did explain.
Between the spreadsheet and the literature?
Yeah, and then there was a bunch of books, and some of them were written in Chinese. Yeah, you know, China, Taiwan, and they were not translated in English. So, you know, the literature that they provided, you know, explains some of the problems.
But it was enough for you to satisfy yourself that the alternate bid was
explained. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. That's how we made our determination.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Is there any redirect or recross to any of the parties to this witness?
I just have a couple questions on redirect, and just to clarify the record, there was a second written review of materials that you received from TRMA through the facilities management on September 16, 2009. Is that correct? After you got material from Eon, you forwarded it on for another review?
Yes.
Okay. And that's what I believe I heard, that there was just the July 16th. So there is a second one, which is, I direct your attention to tab number 25 in the blue book, appellant 25, and it's page number 4 inside there.
application before, is that correct?
Number 25
is something that's dated, it's confusing because we have a July 16th, 2009, and this one's a September 16th, 2009 CRMA.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes.
It, also, just for the record and clarification, does GSA have repair and renovation authorization as far as contracts go, if you're just repairing or renovating a room or a building? Do you know or not know? Is there a difference between construction as used on a program level or an agency level over there? Or do you need to just stay open on that?
What do you mean by stay open?
Well, I'm coming new, and I review this, and I use the word construction, and I look at the GSA or the Guam Public School System DOE regulations, and I see it defined as construction. I've been told that some projects involve renovating, which is inside a building, the main frame still exists, and it's renovation and repair, that there's a distinction in the procurement world. Is that correct? Between construction of a building overall and the renovation and repair of a building?
Yeah, there's a difference.
And all I'm trying to do for the record is find out whether or not you've been involved in the repair and renovation of different projects before over at GSA in your capacity. Or is this the first one?
We have done repairs and repairs of minor construction.
And what would be the dollar value?
It would probably be less than $15,000.
Okay. And this is a $700,000 to $800,000 project, correct?
Yes.
Okay. No further questions?
Yes, Mr. Jackson.
Just two questions on recross. We were just discussing the GSA's authority to do construction contracts, and council questioned you that whether GSA has the authority to do repairs of certain classrooms and schools and whatnot. Is that correct? And
yes.
Can I take my yes? Yes or no?
And then also you indicated that these construction contracts for repairs are generally limited to about $15,000.
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Now I just want to ask a quick question about the September 25th letter. And it's appellant, or excuse me, we'll just use appellees because we're looking at it right now. Appellees Exhibit 12, which is Appellees Exhibit 12, and this is basically the one that provided the final confirmation. And you indicated that when you based your determination on whether Eon's bid was fully explained, you reviewed the first Taniguchi report, and then also this letter indicates that you also reviewed the second Taniguchi report to determine, to make that determination?
Yes.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Anything else? Okay. Let's see. Mr. St. Nicholas, I'm going to direct you not to discuss your testimony here with any of the other witnesses or with any of the parties until these proceedings have concluded. Further, I'm going to excuse you at this time, subject to recall, possible recall by the parties later in these proceedings. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, you're excused. Please leave the exhibits on the table.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
And let's see, the next issue is we're going to recess and come back at 2.
2 or 2:30? I'd like to sleep today.
Can't eat in an hour? Okay. 2:30?
Yeah.
How many more witnesses do you have this week?
Anyone on island, we'll check.
No, that's not.
And anyone out of the hospital, I'll check.
That's not the nature of the question. How many witnesses do you have?
I have at least 2,
at
maybe
two.
3.
Okay.
I
guess we have some for tomorrow, or a room. I guess.
Well, I'm hoping to conclude today.
Do you think that we will continue in the evening till we're finished? I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
This place shuts down.
But can we have the room?
I mean, the building stays open.
No, but this facility that we're in right now is, this is all DOC. So when they secure, I have to ask.
Yeah, so we'll check, we'll verify.
Okay.
So we could go to like 5:36.
I guess my question is just whether we're going to do closing today, if I need to bring down a projector. Because I would like to conclude today, but I'm sure everyone else is.
I still have an open request.
Is that concerning Mr. Crosby?
And Mr. Cohen.
Well, we'll take that up at the end, okay? All right. Okay, so 2 o'clock?
No, 2:30.
2:30? Okay, so we will recess.
I will be in time.
And we will reconvene at 2:30 this afternoon. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
We're off the record. We're off the record at 1.
Thank you.